The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name. Are you excited here? So have your seat. You've stood for some time. I like it. Now you sit down while I keep standing. Are you sure you not bring seat for me? Hallelujah. So we're rounding up. I have 50 minutes. Let's see how we'll go. 50 minutes. Not 15, no. 50, before you now say he was supposed to close in 15 minutes and he took 2 hours. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to take 2 hours. Oh, God. So, I promised you last night, you know, I didn't plan to teach on that, but last night while I was ministering here, that came forward by utterance. I said I was going to talk to you about burnout in ministry. Remember that? Burnout in ministry. Things that gets people, makes people, why do people get tired at a time? Let me tell you what I've observed. Almost every young person I've spoken to, there is always a story of, there was a time that I was really very serious with God. Some had that story, it was in their secondary school. I get to the point, some in their university days. What happens to people? What makes people get tired along the line? And how do we avoid that? Why do some start off very powerfully, very excited about God? You know, some of you, there were times you are even carrying this in, but suddenly it's like, you know, it's not like you're no longer going to church, but everything just. So what makes that happen? And how can we sustain fire and fervency for a very long time? I get to me this morning, because I don't want this whole experience, this go weekend, to just be an experience that will vanish. Are you following me? Are you ready for gospel this morning? Why? You know, I've served the Lord for some years, right? Next year will be 20 years of active preaching ministry. Next year. This is my 19th year. And I tell you, I have some wisdom as to why I've been able to stay like that. Some of you that knew me from 2006, there is no month or no week you know me that I wasn't preaching. It's been that fervent. You never met me and say, man, I'm considering stopping this thing. Every time you see me, I'm talking about something new that I want to do. Something new. How I want to do missions. I started 2006 with missions. I will go for missions 2006, 2007. I thank God for the local church that I was coming from. There was that structure. Just a part of the church that created that structure for missions. And so we go for 1 month, go for those kind of missions, camp there. And that fight, it's been like that. So some people say, don't worry, when you leave secondary school, you will stop. But it didn't happen. After secondary school, they say, if you enter university, don't worry. It's university life. When school passed through you. And I thought, I'm going to pass through that school. not casual. I will pass through like a caterpillar. The school when I passed. So after school passed through us, nothing changed. After we left school, so it's been like that, and that's how we should actually be. Because you know I've told you the part of the justice is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. So it's supposed to be that the longer you live, the brighter you shine. The longer you live, the more fervent you become. Are you following me? The longer you live, the more on fire you become. And there are some of you that the Lord showed me that, you know, it's been, some of you are afraid that one day something will just happen and you drop back to the days of coldness. Some people have even told you that nobody, you go soon tire. Have never told you go soon tire. You see all this what you're doing? And sometimes it's coming from people that have done it. And then you go soon tired. Just be going. Very soon yourself will be tired. Now that some people said that to me, and they didn't say that of wickedness. They said that of what they meant. I met a woman who was in her 60s at the time. Her neighbor then. And that woman had, there was nothing around that lady that looked like fervency. She was an ordinary woman. And one day I went for a program and came back. She called me. I said, I see you're going around preaching. She said, it's good. Did you see quick? She told me, she said, in my secondary school, I was SU president. I said, eh? You couldn't have guessed. So I now said, what happened to you? She just laughed. Yeah, life. Then she made a statement in Igbo. She said, Gawanom Benkun. You know that kind of thing. He said, it's your time. You know, I was implying that when you grow, you stop all these things. That day I walked out of that house, I said, may this prophecy fail. And it's failing. You don't want to have children and all you have for them are stories. You know, when your father was young, we dey pray. That's what people have. We dey pray that time. Evangelism that time, all over. It's all this is avenue. We walked everywhere. We preached. Don't you see? Do it. And we make it look like ministry is something about youthful exuberance. And it's not meant to be. The reason is because people get tired. People burn out. Are you following me? They burn out. They get to a point and they get, and that's not the plan again. You are meant to be, if you are praying 30 minutes this month, next month it should be 1 hour, next 2 months, 3 hours. You should be looking for time to include other things and not looking for time to include your prayer life. You should be more fervent. You are winning one soul every month. You should think of 3. You should think of 5. You should think of 6. That's what your life is meant to be. But people get tired. And I said yesterday, there are a few things that when you see in your life, and I'm saying this for some of you, because the thing is, nobody actually just stops. Before you break down health-wise, there would have been symptoms that you ignored. And I've taught you, always attack sickness from the point of symptoms. And I'm saying this, if you want to be a faith person, I'm just giving you a very big secret. You wake up and this side of your head is banging small. Start dealing with it. Don't wait until they go and diagnose you of brain tumor. You now say, in the name of Jesus. Mm-mm. You started late. That day you woke up and you notice that your mouth is a bit bitter. You know what that means, Abi? If you are not Nigerian, as a Nigerian, you know. When we travel abroad and we have malaria and those guys are running up and down, we tell them, see, they have amatem. Because we are just so used to these things. So once your mouth just goes, you already know. That's not the time to ignore it until it hits you down, maybe on your exam morning. You now start declaring, health is working in me. No, that's when you started late. Do you understand? Just go and take drugs. And I can encourage you, even if you want to take drugs, still start from the time of symptoms. So, listen, see what I'm saying? There are symptoms that when you see in your life, you should know that you're actually going down. Are you getting the point? I always use when you fly on an airplane, for instance. When you go so high like that, they can announce that they are commencing descent. When I first flew, I felt when they say we are commencing descent, that in 3 minutes we should have landed. But it could take a few minutes. The descent, at first you might not even know you are going down. That's how it is. When you go that high up the sky, you might be going down, but you are not aware. So that's why there are symptoms you should look out for. For instance, we're really talking about some of them yesterday. You notice that there is no more passion for soul winning. You talk about going to win souls, it doesn't do anything to you. Now, you don't need to get to a point where you become a full-blown backslider before you know that you're already backsliding. They say, let's go and win souls. Evangelism, tomorrow is evangelism, you just want to dodge. Something is already going wrong. Something, you might not know, something is already going wrong. That's why meetings like this are opportunities for you to talk to yourself and look at how much progress you've made from January till now and see where you need to refire. Are you following what I'm talking about? So, passion for soul winning drops. Some people, sometimes when you notice a loss of excitement for spiritual things, say today is prayer. You're not even excited. Today is this. If you had your way, you will dodge church. Sometimes you switch off your phone, so they will not call you. You just lose that excitement. Those things are pointers to the fact that things are already going bad. The problem is that we ignore it. We sweep it under the carpet and say, that's just how I feel. I don't want to go to church today. I just want to be on my own today. You don't just want to be on your own. No believer just wakes up and wants to start on spiritual things. Something is wrong. Let me tell you why it's like that. Why I say no believer can wake up and decide to start on spiritual things. Because no fish can wake up and decide to start out of water. Water is the fish habitat. So anything that will make the fish say, I want to start out of water, that's a problem. The supernatural ministry is the natural habitat of the believer. So when he begins to detest that habitat for any reason, something is going wrong on the inside. And I'm saying this to some of you ministers and pastors. It is not hard to see when people are backsliding. But that's one training you need as a minister to pay attention. It's not hard to see. My wife said, she can tell you this. Sometimes we'll just be talking, I say, this particular sister. It's not hard to see. I just something is wrong. So how do you know? Sometimes I observe you 3, 4, 5 prayer sessions. You are not moved. You are not excited. You just pray like a big man. You pray with no heart connection. I just say, you see that girl? She's going. The things of God should still... See, did your David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David said, I rejoice at thy word as one that has found great spoil. There are people, believers that if you like, they've come to the point, if you like, preach fire. Preach thunder. They know no shit. Nothing moves them. God's word cannot affect the emotions. Why are you like that? Insulator. Current doesn't pass through you. No matter what happens. I'm telling you, the power of God is just looking at you. And when you see those things in your own life, just know that something is wrong. Don't explain it away with your temperament. See, everybody mustn't be praying like that. Now, me, I'm a calm person. You know, when I look at this, my pastors, I minister, I see the pastors, different temperaments. Which pastor, some of them are introverts, extroverts. But you can't do that now. If I say, let's start rejoicing, and say, you know, I'm reserved. Say, shumbra, shumbra. Glory, glory, glory. You can't do that. It's a sign that something is already wrong inside. That's why nothing, the things of God no longer spark anything. I get what I'm saying. So when you notice those kind of things, you act. Service is coming. If you could dodge it, you will dodge it. Something is wrong. Are you following me? And if you don't act on it, that's how the descent will start. So you see loss of interest in church gatherings, all those kind of things. Some people have no responsiveness. Like if I say, I always give the example. If I come to you now and say, let's pray in tongues. And it takes you 15 minutes to boot. So let's pray in tongues. Say, like now. Say, yes, now. Okay. Something is wrong. A believer should be prayer ready. You say, why? Because God can wake you up by 2 a.m. How many of you are ready for God to interrupt your sleep? Let me ask again. Are you ready for God to interrupt your sleep with prayer burdens? Because that's one of the things that will happen from this meeting. Some of you will be, you woke up by 3 a.m. I don't even teach you something. If you find out that you always wake up in the midnight, in the night, around a particular time, when you wake up, don't sleep back immediately. Just pray. Did you hear what I said? Just pray small. Just that most times you try to start praying small. But then if you now start, let me just pray for 15 minutes. You finish the prayer by 6 a.m. Because sometimes it is those bodies waking you up. Sometimes you are being woken up by the time because there is somebody in trouble. But there are people that have no responsiveness to the things of the Spirit. Nothing. They can never respond. It means something is wrong. So when you begin to see all these signs, just pay attention. You need to act on it. And there are a lot of reasons, and I'm telling some of the reasons why people lose their fervency or burn out in ministry. I'll just mention them randomly, but please take them very seriously. And I'll start with ministers. When you have a busy ministry without a solid personal spiritual life, you will get tired in ministry soon. Like you have a busy ministry, you're always preaching. You are preaching, you go for evangelism, you sing in church, you come and usher, you are just busy, you play instruments, you do, but there is no personal prayer life, no personal study life. Let me tell you, you will soon tire. You are like a car driving without fuel. You will soon get tired. Do you know why you get tired? What you are doing cannot be done with the arm of the flesh. Enough told you that. Let me tell you. Let me say it again. You see, being an usher, you can usher at a wedding with the arm of the flesh. Just wear fine high heel and stay and just say, yes, sit there, yes, welcome. But you cannot usher in church with the arm of the flesh. You will get tired. It will get frustrating. To start with, nobody is paying you. What is it that drives you to keep doing something for 30 years and nobody is paying you one naira? Are you feel what I'm saying? So if you just want to do it regularly without a personal prayer life, you will get tired. I can tell you 90% of people that have burnt out in ministry, this is the problem. They were busy playing instruments in church, busy carrying speakers in church, busy starting generator in church, busy snapping picture in church, but they didn't have any personal prayer life, no personal study life. Nothing is happening in their altar, but the abuse around, you will get tired. Take it from me. If you've not got tired, very soon you get tired. And I'm not the prophet of doom. I'm just telling you what is going to happen to you. Because what you are doing is hard from a natural perspective. How many of you know that apart from the help of the Holy Spirit, ministry is very hard? Are you aware? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, ministry is very hard. In fact, it's impossible. 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 Sometimes, Testers of Light is coming very soon. I will announce it very soon. I'll announce it today. But then you notice, imagine for those 30 days, I'll be preaching every day, preaching, pray. You know, human being, you've tried that for 30 days without the help of God, you will break, you will die. You even get tired. And as I'm preaching every day, that's how the ushers are ushering every day. The choir are singing every day. Every day. Rehearsing every day. Singing every day. Running from work. Running from school. Get to church. Sing. Think of that for 30. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you will get tired. So when you don't have a prayer life, you are attempting to do by your strength what should be done by the Spirit. So you will get tired. That's why it's not about excitement. It's not about excitement. So I'm singing, preaching every day, they're singing every day, ushers, information desk, they're working every day. Some of you, that's why some of you that are not yet workers, you should become a worker very soon. Some that are not yet workers should actually respect our workers. And this is a digression, but I'm going to say that. Respect our workers. Respect them for us. Because see that thing they're doing, you say, what is this? It's not just to be an usher and direct people where to sit. Become an usher. By the time your first client will insult you. You say, please sit here. Say, I don't like sitting by this side. I like sitting this side. He said, I beg you, in the name of whatever you believe in, sit here. You know, but I'm not going to. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to say, respect our workers. I dare say boldly, we do not have jobless people who are working for us here in church. I get to the point. It is not the most broke people in this church that sing in the choir or that do information or that even clean toilets. There are people who are in sanctuary team, the one that keeps that toilet in order. Yet you will go in there, mess it up, and come out like it's no man's business. They will go and clean it without complaining. No human being can do that to the arm of the flesh. But just one day you enter and you see that they've messed toilet up, and you know the person that left there. You say, hey, sister, I saw you. They say, hey, go back. Did you not see water? It takes the strength of God to do this thing. The tiniest of jobs in ministry needs the help of God. I get what I'm saying? If not, you're going to get tired. You're going to get frustrated. These teams I'm talking about now are the in-service teams. We have the out-of-service teams. Who are those ones? There are people that work, not when service is on, that work outside of service. There are teams like that here that keep things going. Now, you can't possibly be doing all of that and you do not have a solid prayer life. Where will you get the strength from? Where will you get? You will get tired. I can tell you this. I had friends that we did ministry together. They're no more doing today. And I know, and I told some of them then. I said, I'm not perfect, but you people don't have a prayer life. Because, do you know, when people talk, when people preach, and there is no connection between their words and their hearts, you will know. What's happened to you? So when these guys talk, I say, I don't know, I'm not insulting you, but I hear emptiness in what you say. You are just saying what you heard people say. You don't have any personal work with God. All of them, and I'm not bragging, I'm not happy about it. All of them have stopped today. All of them. Because you can go for 1 year. You can go for 2 years. You can go for 5 years. You can't go all your life. Are you following me? You can't go all your life. The challenges waiting for you ahead are even much. So when there is a busy ministry without a personal prayer life, personal study life, it will produce a tired minister very soon. So that's why one of the disciplines that you must cultivate as a believer is to have a solid prayer life. Solid quiet time. Let me use that word. Quiet. I'm not talking about the time of prayer when you are praying or preparing for a program. Father, as I go to preach, anoint me. No. I mean, that's daily. Wake up in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. Good personal prayer time. I'm not saying you can sing that song. I don't know why that song. I don't know if you understand that song. What does the song mean? Did Jesus sleep? Okay, the one that woke up. And I say good morning. What next? The Holy Spirit. What next? Good morning. Okay, Master Jesus. I'm not saying you wake up and sing that song. But I'm saying that regular quiet time thing you do, when you wake up in the morning, spend time, read the Bible and pray. Have that. That's your base for ministry. When it gets bad, that's where strength comes from. When it gets frustrating, that's where strength comes from. I feel what I'm talking about. When it gets tiring, that's where strength comes from. That 30 minutes, that 45 minutes, that 1 hour, you spend. I dare say, I think it was Makakis that said, made this statement, was where I heard it first. Every failure starts with prayer failure. Every other kind of failure in ministry starts with, every weakness starts with prayer. You have to get weak in prayer before other weakness will follow. So please, A busy ministry without a personal prayer life will frustrate you. What else makes people burn out in ministry? When they decide for whatever reason to rest, to take a break from ministry. When you take a break from ministry, you may never come back. That's actually the easiest way to stop ministry. Say, let me stop small, I'll be back. If I've ever stopped and you are back, that is a special mercy of God upon your life. Most people that stop, say, Abed, give me like 6 months, let me understand myself. You might never be back. So, hear my counsel. You want to bond for a very long time. No matter what is happening around your life, never take a break from ministry. No matter what is happening. Even if the heavens are falling, never take a break from ministry. When you are tired, show up. When there is no money, show up. Now, that's how I've been going for long. I used to tell you guys of the days when I would sleep in the parks, sleep on the roads without money. The days, you know, I've had some challenge. There was a day. Where is Emmanuel? I have a photo here. There was a day when we were still at Abuja and I was going to church in the morning and some court guys were having an issue. They were robbing somewhere. It was a chaotic environment. I had two options. Option number one was to go back home and go and stay till everything dies down and I'll start going to church. But I wanted to be in church. I wanted to go and preach. Option number two was to start going and risk everything. So I asked him, do you have a phone? He said, no, you didn't have a phone that day. I said, okay, it's only my phone we have, so let's go. But we met those robbers on the road. They say, hey, I brought out my phone, I gave them. And I continued, I went to church and preached. You remember this story, Abby? Uh-huh. You must keep going. Now, I didn't come to church that day and say, your pastor is phoneless today because of you. I feel what I'm saying. You must keep, the bad things could happen, but you must keep going. The mistake is to say, let me just stop for like 2 months or 3 months, then you fear my return. We really fear your return. Are you following me? You must keep going. You must keep going. Things don't work out as planned. Keep going. You have questions you don't yet have answers to. Keep going. You prayed and it didn't look the way you wanted. Keep going. Because the thing about it is, if you have answers, you prayed, you didn't see whatever, but you keep going. You will find the answers ahead. But if you stop, you will not see the answers. So you must keep going. And that phone that I gave them that day was new. I've not used that for up to 1 month. I said, 1 month, I'll be up to 2-3 weeks. It was a phone that, you know, Champions Foundation got for me on my birthday. They got that phone May 16th. That phone left in June. And I preached normally. Ministered by the power of God, and that was it. Now, I have phones today. What if I had stopped it because they took my phone? How can God be there? Why didn't he fall down from heaven where they wanted to take my phone? Let me tell you. There are many things that could happen. I've confronted robbers a few times. A few times, you know, right? And nothing happened. But there are also cases where I get to and I just give them and just go. He said, why? It's because of what I'm led to do in my spirit at the time. Remember the day, I think it was with you, we were working at Aban. And one man was with gun, remember? Was following us. I was walking with him in the night. It was around 1 a.m. So what are you doing on the road by that? I don't even know. On the road. And as we were walking, this guy with a pistol was following us. Hey, stop there. Hey, stop there. And I told him, I said, don't turn. Don't run. Don't stop talking. Let's keep gisting. Like there's nobody there. We kept going. I used to point people so that you know if you can ask them to know if I'm forging it. So the guy followed us and kept shouting. We didn't stop. Guess what? He shot. Whether he shot at us or he shot up, I don't know. But we just said, what? And I just said to him, I said, we kept talking. So I was telling, we didn't turn, we didn't shake, we didn't look, we didn't move, we didn't reduce our step, we didn't increase it. We're just going. The guy turned back. Even yourself go fear like. But that's might by the spirit anyway. Because now I'm wondering how we're able to do that. Remember the story right there? Very well. We didn't didn't shake. We didn't turn. We didn't say, hey. I said, I'll just tell you, we're gisting about something. I said, so that meat program, man. Ah, God, the guy shot. Why? Yes, I was telling you, you know, if I'm the thief, I will run. Because for whatever it is that I did, are you even sure it was one end? It could be spirits. Two spirits are discussing on the way. You're coming to take their money. So we have some of those kind of cases. But we've had cases too, like the one I told you, where we lost our things. Paul said he was in peril of robbers. But you must keep going. Are you following me, friends? You must keep going. You must keep going. So, never take breaks. Never. Never take, just let me just, never do that. Even vacations are not breaks. When our people get married here, I always counsel that you take a short break, you know, to do your honeymoon and understand yourself. Because the kind of money you spend during wedding, you need a break after the wedding. I might say, go do a honeymoon. But even that vacation is not break. It doesn't mean you no longer pray. Say, for this 1 week after my wedding, if I say in Jesus, let me know, I will not say, I'll just be enjoying my wife. Mm-mm. Are you getting the point? We can just allow you go, take your rest, pray. But they also know that while you are there, you should be joining service. Did you not join service? You should be joining service. You can't say, no. I'm on break, Everything, what I do, I'll just focus on my wife. Your wife will tire you. So, you never take breaks. And while you're on that vacation, if you meet the porter at the hotel and he smiles too much, preach to the person. Because there's no break. Say amen. Think of you and your wife holding hands, ministering to a sinner, getting the person filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that not fun? Very romantic. But that's not why I'm thinking about what you want to do is to go on break and not come back. Praise God. Never take a break. What other reason will cause some of these moments? When, this one is rare, but when people are operating, I won't say much about that. When ministers are operating outside their calling, they will get tired. When you're operating where God did not send you, that's a story for another day. I won't go deep into that. Maybe at LMP we'll have time. But if you are preaching, one major thing people get tired is that doing what God did not send them to do, you will get frustrated because His grace will not be supplied for where He did not send you. And without that grace, you will get tired. Of course, another reason is fear. Fear. An example is Elijah. Why did Elijah get tired in ministry? Jezebel spoke. He became afraid. That's why you must not give in to fear. Fear can frustrate. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the future. What if I continue this thing I'm doing and I don't make money? Everyone, I'm saying, what if I continue this as a young lady? What if I keep doing this Jesus thing and I don't get married? But all those kind of fears, fear of the future, fear of the unknown, if you allow those fears enter your heart, it will stop you. And that would lead me to make the next point. Another thing that can make people, you know, get tired easily is overconsciousness concerning material needs and their personal affairs. When you become too conscious of, I need to make money, I need to marry, I need to eat, I need to this, I need to... Once you become too conscious, Satan will leverage on that particular thing. That's why many people have dropped out of ministry today. I need to make money. I need to go to school. I need to do this. I need to do this. So I cannot keep doing this church thing with two people. How will I now make money? Where will I get? All those kind of over-consciousness. Let me tell you. That's why I have a teaching called the wealth of contentment. You need to have contentment. Contentment doesn't mean that you are okay with your level. Contentment means that you are thankful to God for your level while you are trusting Him for another thing. You are not married, but you are not dead. You are not married, but you have a job. Can't we be thankful to God for those ones that are working? Because if you become too conscious and of being too concerned about things that are not about your affairs, actually it will make you tired. The Bible says, how many of you, by worrying, have added 1 cubit to your height. What's the point? So the devil sending those thoughts to your heart has an aim. The aim is that you will get to a point and you stop. You get to the point and you say, in fact, I'm not going to do ministry. Have you not observed that? When things go wrong in people's life, what is the first thing they try to stop? Church. When people fail exam, what's the first thing they want to stop? Church. When people's business have issues, what's the first thing? Why? It tells you it's not normal. What concerns church with your business that failed? Someone has a heartbreak. What's the first thing they stop? Is it church that's... And sometimes the person that broke their heart is not even in church. But they stop church. And those kind of people, they can never tell you what happened. You say, what happened? They say, you will not understand. I just want to be on my own. That's how I just feel right now. The reason it's always church that comes to your mind to slow down on when things are bad is because that is the exact thing Satan has been working on getting you to do. When things are bad, church will stop. If sometimes when people get overwhelmed with a lot of things, the first thing they want to stop is church. They cannot say, let me reduce my time on Facebook. You will not hear, let me cut off from this friend. You will not. The only thing is, let guy who's going to church first. You will not know what else. That's the problem. So don't get over bothered about these things. The Bible said, why do you worry about these things? What you will eat, what you will drink. He said, these are how the Gentiles act. Let me tell you emphatically, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you cannot earn small. There could only be a delay, but you're not going to earn small. So don't let all these things stop you. Did I have my challenges yet? Do I still have my challenges? Yes. But it means nothing. And why does it mean nothing? I'm not so bothered about those things. Take it from me. I'm not so bothered about all this. I'm not so bothered. You can't see me now and I'm not sleeping. And my wife say, hey babe, why are you not sleeping? He said, I'm just thinking. House rent is closed. And you can never see that. Problems have never taken sleep from my eye. Because I'm the beloved of the Lord. And who that the Lord loves, he giveth his beloved sleep. I get to the point. But sir, this is about you. What of me? I worry too much. I tell you what to do. Worry goes on in the heart. If you want to deal with worry, use your tongue against it. When it begins to fill your heart, stop reminiscing, stop going over it. Just get up from that place. Because the first thing worry wants to do is to keep you at a spot. You lie down when you are worrying. You are meditating. So why not get up from that place and start saying something else? So what do I say? The opposite of that you are feeling. It's the word of God. So I know my bills are paid. My bills are paid. The Lord will take care of me. You should have a lot of scriptures in your bank. I get any point? Yeah. I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed beg bread. You say to yourself, you keep saying, don't stay there and just be turning over your bed. Get up! And as you are fighting with those things, get yourself busy with spiritual things. Because the devil wants to use all those things you are passing through to distract you from ministry. When you finish speaking God's word, get up. It's Thursday service. Prepare, come to church. When it's time to preach, go preach the gospel. If you are here and you've never preached the gospel and you don't have food to eat, you've not started ministry. You should be able to preach the gospel and go home and drink garri. That's what I'm saying. Don't be so concerned with what is not working out with affairs of this life. I get to the point. As a pastor, I've trekked to and fro from church. Not once, not twice. Trek, preach, to and fro. I know that even the devil knows, even if you ask him now, if the Satan is looking for what to use to tempt me, he knows what not to bring. Material things, no now. That one, we've crossed that level. I can say it boldly. Whether lack of it or abundance of it, it doesn't do anything. So that you don't, because I don't have money, maybe money, there's no money now, say, but I'm not going to come and preach in Zoe because maybe start the fire. We not eat enough in the house. After, how can we come and preach on empty stomach? Because when you're up, yum, or how far? So if you don't give me food, I'm not going to come and preach. Whining like a baby. Whining. You are so concerned about the affairs of this world. So concerned about money. So concerned about all these things. I'm praying that you have all those things you are bothered about. But when you finally have them, you know they don't mean nothing. I always give this example. Always. How many of you prayed and cried for admission before you got it? Admission into school. How long? Anybody? 10 years? Anybody? Now I've seen 10 years. Anybody? 7 years? 5 years? Because some of you 5 years. 4 years. I people say you cried. What did you cry? 3 years. Okay, even 2 years cried. 2 years.
You know the thing, before you get an admission, you are just so bothered, you are crying. You see your mates going to school wearing lab coats. You say, ah, where is my God? When you finally enter school, after the first year, you sit down with your bed and wonder, what brought me to this place? Because when you finally get what you are looking for, you find out it wasn't worth all the stress. It wasn't worth all the compromise. That's how it is. This money you think you don't have now, don't worry. God will give you an abundance. When that time comes, you will look back and find, is this it? Is this it? Like, is there another thing? Is it this thing? I know what I'm talking about. So, don't get so overbothered about those things. Now, by the time you now get the money, you now look at the things you left to get the money. You look at your ministry, you abandoned. You look at your spiritual life, you're abandoned. You find, if you compare it, you find out you failed. The joy I have is, I've crossed many stages in my life, not having many things, but thankfully, he never reduced my fervency one bit. So I can never tell you that I sacrificed my work with God to get anything. Never. I might never have that thing. I never have it. You are too concerned about these things. I saw students in school who compromised their faith and stopped being serious with God because this certificate is their life and their future. So we have to make it. We have to make it. Now, many of them are done with school. They're not even using the same certificates to work. Some of them are done with school and are working, they're paying them 45,000, 48,000, 300, all over the place. So sometimes I want to ask them, is this what you gave up everything for? Are you getting what I'm talking about?
No, don't get so bothered about the affairs of this world. Because if you do, you will get tired. You think when I say 48,300, you think I mentioned somebody's exact salary now. And you ask yourself, what was the point of all the compromise? What was the point of, I will not come to church again. I will not go to fellowship. Please, I want to face my books. Don't have evangelism. I did not come to this school to preach. I came to this school to read. What's the point of all of that? For 122,400. What is the point? You don't see money. God will give you money. I was watching Pastor Chris one day. I was talking about some of those people, some of the guys that left the ministry because they wanted more money. I just said, do they even know what money is? When that man said this, I said, they don't know. You know, you watch meetings, your Pastor Chris will just stand up and say, you know, I like what you're doing with your evangelism. We're going to give you extra 100,000. Not Naira. Extra $100,000. We gave you last month, right? I love what you do. We give you extra 100. I'm telling you. And somebody is in high school saying, I'm my future, I'm fighting for my future. I'm not going to go to church. Do you even know what? Have you seen money? The day you see money, you know that.
If you didn't get that, it's okay. I don't know how to translate that to English. What does it mean?
What it means is that if you work so hard, you will arrive at feeding money. That's the truth. That is the help of God. That is a touch of the supernatural in people's finances. Even people in the other kingdom, they know. That's why every Yahoo boy will do jazz. Even drunk girls, we have to touch, collect something. Every politician, after they print posters and billboards, they will still go and kill things. Things. I didn't say anything. No. They kill things. Kill their ego. They can't kill things because they know that it's not those people lining up to vote that is the issue. Are you following me? Yeah. So, don't get so bothered about this of this world. So, that's one thing that makes people born as a mission. One more thing I'll talk about before I give you the solution. I give you some key solutions and instructions. Is people detach from certain relationships in their life and they experience burnout. Some leave certain friends and they experience burnout. Some leave certain circles. Has it ever happened to you? Anybody, let me see if it ever happened to you. You left a certain circle, a certain fellowship, a certain church, a certain group of friends, a certain mentor, and you notice that your life just went down the drain. It's because man is God's method. So it's not every a believer should not be into, oh, if you do now, I will never come. In fact, get out of my life. Not everybody should get out of your life. There are people that when you shift from them, you begin to experience some sort of burnout. There are divinely orchestrated destiny relationships. That when you notice that people are around, that's why don't be in a hurry to pull out of circles. Have you not observed that every time you get tired in your walk with God, the first thing you want to do is to stop talking to your Christian friends? Does it happen to you? So you get the call from your generation leader, you put it on silence. Because the devil is playing a fast one. He knows that if you keep talking to those people, you will definitely bounce back. When lion wants to eat the sheep, lion goes for the isolated sheep. You first isolate the sheep before you go after it. So if you cannot isolate a sheep, the strength of the sheep, that's why we are called sheep. The strength of sheep is in their company and in the company of their shepherd. Come on. I get what I'm talking about. So what the devil will do is to isolate the person and then go after the person. So some people, there are circles that you should, and if you are like that, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. There are people that you shouldn't stop talking to. You should keep around you. It may not be a very perfect relationship, but it should just be around. Relationships help us a great deal stay on fire for God. And I make both to say, I've had the same set of friends for my 19 years now in ministry. I've had the same set of friends. Same. Same. To the glory of God. I get to the point. There are friendships, spiritual fatherhood, mentors, that you find out that because you shifted from them, everything began to go down. And if you observe that, and work with pride in this thing, don't be proud, just go back. Like the prodigal son. If I go back and do blackmail, that's why we come back in the 21st century. We don't come and say sorry. We come to make you say sorry. We just come to you and say, so I did not call. You didn't even say let you call me. No, that's their way of saying sorry. Just understand it. She's trying to say sorry. So you did not see me for like 3 weeks. You didn't even say let you check on me. That's how we are. But you know, if the mountain will not go to Muhammad, if Muhammad will not go to the mountain, Muhammad will go to Muhammad. So, you know, find a way, just get back. Many people are still losing their spiritual, are still not fervent for God because of pride. Pride to just return and say, I'm back. I'm telling you, just sneak back in. Sometimes sneak back and sit down like you never left.
And somebody said, I've not seen you for some time. I said, it means I've not seen you for some time. It helps you stay on fire. No companies you don't just walk out from. God gives you a healthy church. You don't just run away like that. So I'm just going to change this church. If the Lord leads you to change a church, it's possible. God can lead you to change your church. But it has to be that God led you. Because if he leads you to change your church for whatever specific reason, he will give you a healthy family. But then to just pull from a place where you are growing spiritually because somebody matched you. Like when somebody removed your wig in church. So I never go to that church again. It's foolishness. Your life will go down the drain like that. Are you following me? So there are people that you just walk closely with. The Bible said, iron will sharpen iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. Say two is better than one. Glory to God. So, are you learning something? So you are seeing, by all these courses I've shown you, I've actually shown you, I will not have time to look at that now, I've actually shown you preventive measures. I've shown you already, right? What to do to prevent it. I hope you got it. Things like maintaining healthy relationships, maintaining a healthy study life, a healthy prayer life, healthy church family, active ministry. Having an active ministry, don't ever take breaks. These things I mentioned are causes, but you're also already seeing how to prevent it from ever happening. And I've never had a burnout. I'm telling you why. This is the reason. When it's like my mind is shaking, I know I have mentors, for instance. I have a father. I know what to do. Are you following me? Prayer life, study life, active ministry. I don't even have time to think about my problem. Because I'm busy. As I'm leaving this place, sometimes as I'm leaving this place now, just to rest my head, a call has come in, a text has come in, pray for me, do this. Sometimes I have to have a meeting now because something is happening. After this meeting now, this is July. This same July, I have a meeting with the pastor, Sabi. When? Tomorrow. He didn't told me. Those who want to have a meeting with the pastors, right? I have another meeting with the executive of Chambers Foundation this same week. This month. Saturday. Okay, next week. Okay, thank God. And it just keeps going like that. And then there are meetings tomorrow. Now, what are we planning from tomorrow? We're talking about man up and perfect lady. There is no time to even think about yourself. Get busy. Get busy with life. Enjoy the busyness. It helps you. You know, that's what the church does for us. There's no breathing room to think or to worry. You are getting depressed because you don't have anything to do. If you get so busy, you don't have time to be depressed. Have you not observed that when you are very busy, time runs very fast? That's why if you're a member of this church and you're very involved, you find that our year used to finish. Like, as we're standing here, the year has finished. I'm telling you. By the time you do Perfect Lady, you do LMP, you do 30 Days of Light, you do Zoe. Yeah, it's finished. Then with all the projects you have in your center, we are doing mission here, we are doing light up here. But it gets so busy, there's no room to think about all these things happening. The problem is that you don't have anything doing, so you light up and start worrying. I have nothing doing. That's the way you'll be so busy, every time if you hit the bed, you will sleep. Just hit the bed and sleep. You need an alarm to wake you up. And then the alarm wakes you up. You pray. After you pray, the day starts rolling again. No room to entertain all the crazy thoughts of the devil. So, if you are currently tired, I'll give you three counsels. You are in a state where you are burnt out. You are frustrated. And you really want to get back on your feet. I'll give you three counsels. One, try retreats. What is a retreat? I mean, make out time, a day or two. Shut down everything happening around you. Carry your Bible. Carry messages, recorded messages. If you need us to recommend for you, tell your team leader, your generation leader, or your pastor. If they can't, they can refer you to me and I'll help. Right? Get those messages. We can recommend them for you. Go for the retreat. So what you do, you get to a place, Pray for like 1 hour or two or three. Read your Bible, study your Bible, listen to messages. Pray again. Do that for a whole day. Rest when you can. Go again. If you separate 2-3 days, if you can go with fasting, fine. You can't. You don't want good fasting. Just eat once a day. So at least have strength to keep going. You just eat once a day and you keep going. You will regain fervency. I recommend that a lot. So as a pastor, I do that from time to time. In fact, it's one of the things that actually keep me going. Every time, at different times of the year, I must always make out that time. When I wasn't a pastor, I used to work with weekends. But now, people have taken my weekend from me. So sometimes you now see me, you see Monday, Tuesday. So you just steal the time. There are retreat centers you should explore. Go there, lock the door, enjoy yourself. You will come back refreshed. That's why I said a wise Christian works with what is it called? Symptoms. A time I felt the symptom, I didn't want to stop ministry, but I felt those signs, these signs I'm telling you. 2016, I was no longer excited about coming to preach in church. So that was nothing was even working. So when I saw those symptoms, I didn't wait till I got to a point where I got tired. I took a retreat immediately. That retreat marked the turning point of my ministry and this ministry. That retreat. 20, I can't, you know, I keep talking about that particular. That I've had many retreats, but that particular one. When you see symptoms, you go, so take a retreat. After this, some of you might need to shut up. Even if it is one, okay, you don't have all the time. Take a full day. A full day retreat. Wake up by 6 a.m. in the morning. Read your Bible. No social media. No interaction with friends. No food. Right, you can eat in the evening. Just read your Bible, pray. Read your Bible. You will hear God. Listen to teachings. Take a full day. When you finish in the evening, eat a little, take your rest, go again through the night. You will come back refreshed. Now that's one of the secrets of the eagle, right? The eagle is always fresh because there is a time of the year that the eagle disappears. Are you aware? It disappears, it goes high up a mountain and it stays there. It sheds off all its feathers and grows new ones and comes out. So when the Bible said your strength will be renewed like the eagle, that's what it's talking about. So there should be a time you hibernate. Do that once in a while. Are you what I'm talking about? Where you just go, and I'm saying, don't go and hibernate, I start thinking. So I just want to be on my own. That time you want to be on your own, take a retreat. Tell your leaders, you know, I need a retreat. I just want to take this Saturday. Please, can you excuse me to be absent? Say, why? I just want to take the whole day to pray, read my Bible. If there's nothing happening, trust me, your leader will let you. Every wise leader will. The reason is because we are more interested in your spiritual life than the work you are doing in church. I feel what I'm saying. There are pastors that have, my ministers have had to tell, you go, better take a retreat too. Sometimes take permission from work. Because if you die, they will employ another person. I guess what I'm talking about. Learn to do that. When it starts getting frustrating, take that break. And just pray. But don't even wait for it to get frustrating. Put it as part of your regular monthly retreats. Or once in every 3 months. Once in every 2 months. Let it be there. It helps recover lost passions. Right? Another thing that can help recover passions like that is meetings. Just like this, start the fire. Meetings like this, church services. That's why no matter what, don't miss church. The one you cannot do, because that's another mistake people make, don't take the retreat that will keep you from church. So I will not be in church because I'll be doing it. You are mixing up spiritual principles. Are you following me? Sometimes when I have long retreats like that, I can break it off on Thursday and come to church, return on Friday, break it off. I get what I'm saying? So that you just keep. Because meetings are another place where fervency is recovered. Samuel said to Saul, he said, as you leave this place, you will meet a company of prophets prophesying. And when you meet them, you too will prophesy. So when Saul met those guys prophesying, that in walking in them jumped on him. There are circles that when you come into, even the forgotten ideas you have will jump back into your head. You that forgot how to pray in tongues, you will pray in tongues until your head is burning. It's circle. So meetings like that. Then the last thing I'm going to say is maximize mentorship. Relationships, mentorships. Maximize, talk to people. If you notice, you are not feeling yourself again, talk to people. Talk early. Don't talk to any animal. Talk to the right people. Some of my pastors know. You know, some of my pastors, when you experience some kind of burnout, I suspend you. I suspend you for two reasons. The first reason why I'm going to suspend you is, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? A mature Christian should be able to know. You know, when you were a baby, when we have a baby now, he doesn't need to tell us anything is wrong with him. We are the one cracking our head to find out what is wrong with him. If he's crying, we say, maybe is his type as well? No. Has he eaten? Yes. Does he want to sleep? No. Maybe he wants to sleep. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm cracking your head. How is he feeling? Check his temperature. Sometimes children just cry. So you are the one trying to find out the issue. That's how we do, baby Christians. We don't see them in church. Why did you come now? We've been looking. But as the baby grows into becoming a man, we expect that we want to say, mommy, please help me buy paracetamol if you're coming back. I did, Tommy. I get what I'm talking about. Now, that's the same thing. So when people, so my church, I mean, the experience born out is discipline you need. Because when you started seeing the signs, did you not know? When you started losing interest, I follow what I'm saying. You should have known. And that's why you call for help. Say, good evening, sir. Your boy is lawyer, sir. Good evening, no. I don't know myself again, no. So what's happening? Say, I just don't know. I'm not feeling this whole thing. Most times it's your pastor that will say, oh, just take some time. Don't arrange red messages and all of that. Don't always wait for this to go back. Maximize mentorship. Are you know what I'm saying? The second reason I suspend my pastors or ministers when I notice they have a burnout, that one is not punishment. That one is, let me remove them from work. Let them go and focus on themselves and recover. So not every suspension is actually punishment. I get what I'm saying. Sometimes I notice that you are getting tired. I can say, stop working for the next 2 months. That it doesn't mean go and flex. I'm saying, just stop working. If I were you, just say, sir, give me regimen. If it's not forthcoming, pack things. Put it up, because you're no longer doing anything now. So read your Bible. Pray. So when you are coming back after 2 months, after 3 months, you are coming back like that eagle that has gone up the mountain. I feel what I'm saying. So maximize mentorship. So don't be dying and you are quiet. Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, he say, ye which are spiritual, restore such a person. So when people get tired, it is the duty of spiritual people to restore them. You should never be tired. And when it creeps in, you should know what to do. Because sometimes, have you ever been so burnt out and you went for retreats but it did not work? Or it seemed like it didn't work? Has that happened to you? You finished the retreat, you came out, you are still more tired. That's why you need that mentorship. Sometimes you tell your mentor, have you gone for the retreat? You say yes. You know this ministry, this thing is like medicine. Right? They say, what's wrong with you? You say, I'm having malaria. You say, how do you have malaria? You say, my eye, this, that, that. Doctor will say, have you treated it? Yes. You treated malaria. What drug do you take? Did you complete the dosage? You say, yes. What else is still doing you? I'm still feeling that thing. I'm still feeling stupid. He's trying to find out. Have you gone for the treatment? He says, yes. And you're always in church? Yes. So what could the problem be? Okay, let's find out. Is there an issue here? Did you do this? Is there, before you know, you get help. That again is the blessing of a sound local church. That's the blessing of a sound local church. That's why I make bold to say, if God gives you a good church, he has settled you. Now, you might not understand the weight of this statement until later in your life. He has settled you in many, many ways. He has even settled the future of your children. Because that community can do anything. From what the pastor can do, to what other members can do, to what you can become with God. Are you following me? Because you notice sometimes you are frustrated because your business is not moving.
I've had someone come to my office. He doesn't know this. He doesn't know this. But when he came to my office and told me this, this, and that is what he does, already, my wife knows what I'm saying. I've already started speaking to some people he doesn't know about getting him connected on one project that is ongoing. Now, he will not, the time, he might not even know it came from me. Now, sometimes God brings us into these circles. So you notice somebody is there, depressed, that his business is not moving well. Where should have just gone to meet someone to help you? And even if I cannot connect you to whoever, my prayer is enough. You don't like prayer? It's enough. Sometimes it's just a simple prayer of God will fix it. I told you guys there will be jobs. And many people are testifying about that already. Jobs are flowing. And the anointing makes this work. Instead of staying out of church because business is not working, that's when you should actually be in church the more. Never let anything steal your fire. Never have a better yesterday. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed? Let's stand to our feet and just give Jesus praise. Now you're going to pray a prayer. Get up on your feet. We sang that song yesterday. It is Jesus who won my heart to stay. And we're going to sing that song one more time. And you're going to make a commitment to Jesus. Say, Father, I'm not stopping. Because the truth of the matter is that all these things on earth will be there. They will always be there. But none of them called you. None of those things changed you. None of them is responsible for your life. You don't answer to any of them. You answer to Jesus. And that is why, no matter what happens, let him have the say. Let him have the say. Let him have the say. Never get tired. When you start getting tired, just turn to the Lord and say, Father, it is you. It is you. It is you. Even ministers, ministry is not working. Crowd is not coming. Money is not flowing as you want. It is you. It's not money that called you. It is Jesus. So you stay fervent. It is Jesus who won my heart to stay. It is. Yes. Who saved me from this age? It is Jesus of the. Yes, he has the said. These three times I will stop. Lift your hand. Say it is Jesus. Who gave me life to live? Oh, yes. That's why he has the same. One more time, say it is Jesus. Thank you.
she has to say. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. One more time, let's close. I give you my heart. Yesterday's. You will preserve us. One thing I'm going to say, then we'll pray. Listen, and I just got this very strongly. Some of you that are following online, you want to be part of this church family, but you're not around where we are, but you want to be part of us for real. Please don't just follow us online. Join the community online. Join the online community. That will help you at least get the proper structure where you can be helped, so that you don't get tired on this journey and you are alone, you are isolated just because you're not around. So don't just join the community. To join the community and participate, be part of what is happening, make friends, follow. If you say it's evangelism, you go preach where you are. Go preach where you are. Participate so that your life can count for something. Before I leave this, I want you to hold somebody's hand by your side. And if you're following online, you should pair yourselves online. You're going to pray for 5 minutes. You're going to pray one prayer for that person. Father, this one will last in your plan for his life. You're going to pray longevity for that person in the plan of God. You're going to pray longevity. Say, this one, the wind will not carry this one. This one will stay long and strong in your plan. Pray. Lift your voice. Let me hear you. From your heart for that brother. That's how we are leaving this meeting. This one will serve you even much more. Fresh on fire for you. Fresh and on fire for you. The days of weakness are hereby dealt with. This one, pray, just pray with your heart. Pray from your heart. Pray for that person. In 10 years' time, I will see you burning for Jesus. Yes, bigger than you are now, but still with the same fresh fervency. Richer than you are now, but the same fresh fervency. Pray for that person. Pray for that person. Please pray. Pastors pray. Members pray. Don't say, I know this one. Nothing can happen. Pray for that person. God is raising a people, and we are not going to let the devil prey on us. So pray for that person.
pray for that person. You will burn. You will burn. You will burn. For months and for years and for decades, all your life, it will be said concerning you that you live for Jesus. You will stay long and strong on this journey. The fire will get more fresh. The fervency will get more fresh. Yes, yes, yes. Pray. You have 2 more minutes. Pray, pray, pray. Come on. From your heart. Shebela Kambra de Shonia. Le Coco Predeke Predeke Shumprede. Marriage will not waste you. Fame will not stop you. Wealth will not stop you. Success or failure will not stop you. Challenges will not slow you down. You will get to the place God wants you to be, but it will not stop you. Prosperity will not stop you. Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And God has done it. We will stay strong and firm on this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. You want to shout a louder amen? Was this weekend a blessing to you? Hallelujah. God bless you. Have your seat.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.